Trans fats are a type of man-made fat. It's a process where you take a liquid vegetable oil and you put it through this process called partial hydrogenation. And what comes out the other end is a semi-solid. And then they fiddle with it some more to end up with shortening or margarine. And they need a solid fat like this to make baked goods and do frying and things that are crisp and so forth. It's much less expensive than the fats that we should be using for this, which are the saturated fats, such as coconut oil, tallow, palm oil, and so forth.
So what happens in the body when we eat the trans fats?
Let me paint a picture for you. Your body is made of cells, and each cell is surrounded by a membrane. That membrane is made up of fat molecules. And in a healthy body, you could picture that membrane as a sparkling sphere with these beautiful rays of light coming out. When you eat trans fats, if you looked at that cell again, there'd be all of these black spots on the trans fat. The sparkles of light are electron clouds where reactions take place, chemical reactions, where doors are open so things can go in and out of the cell and so forth. But when you eat trans fats, you have all of these dead spots on your cell membranes. So it's kind of a crapshoot what will actually happen. You may get cancer, you may get heart disease, you may get diabetes, or you may get all of them, you know. And the more trans fats you eat, the more your cells are going to have these dead spots in the membrane.
Goodness, so they're sort of interfering with all our chemical reactions.
Exactly, and on the cellular level. So as you can imagine, depending on what your genetic makeup is and your biochemical makeup, they could have different effects for different people. One thing they interfere with is the production of hormones. They interfere with the enzymes that your body uses to make hormones, and so estrogen, testosterone production will be messed up. They contribute to infertility. They cause growth problems in children. It's just a disaster for children, because just at the time when the children are supposed to be getting good saturated fats, they're getting trans fats that just don't work in the body.
And we've been hearing some awful statistics about infertility and the number of people that are having IVF therapy, and they're sort of putting it down to age, but I don't know.
Well, no, I think it's definitely the trans fats is one thing, and plus the fact that they're not getting the animal fats, which have the vitamins you need for fertility. So, this is one of the terrible fallouts of this. I mean, there's other reasons, too. Lots of things in the mechanized, industrialized diet that are going to lead to infertility. Mm-hmm. But this was predicted. The rise in infertility was predicted 50 years ago by scientists who saw the trend to substitute vegetable oils and trans fats for animal fats.
So they knew that?
They predicted it. They definitely predicted it because they knew what happened in animal studies.
And why have our diets become so heavily imbued with these trans fats?
Well, people are taken in by the convenience of these types of foods. They are seduced by the artificial flavors, by all the sugars. And at the same time, their minds are convinced by the propaganda that saturated fats are bad. Basically, our governments and the medical establishments have figured out a way to make you afraid of all the healthy foods, foods like eggs and liver and seafood and butter and cream and so forth. We're afraid of those because of this propaganda, false propaganda.
Which began with the fears about saturated fats back in the 1950s.
Right. After the Second World War, these hydrogenation plants came online, and the food industry was growing, and they needed a cheap fat for all of these foods, and vegetable oils filled the bill. And they began a very careful, cleverly orchestrated campaign to demonize their competition, and the competition was lard, coconut oil, palm oil, and tallow and butter. And we tell this story in our article, The Oiling of America, which is posted at our website, WestonAPrice.org.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. Mm.
And when we talk about trans fats, we're talking about margarine.
Well, we're talking about margarine, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, because if you read the labels, you'll find that trans fats are in all of these junk foods, cookies, crackers, chips, pastries. They're even in salad dressings. They're potato chips, all of these types of foods.
Mm. So it's
pie crust, yeah.
Pretty difficult to avoid eating them?
I don't think it is, but that's because I just don't eat processed foods, and that's really the only solution, Helen. It's really the only way to avoid them.
Yeah, but most people are eating them. That's the problem.
Yeah, and it's a huge problem, because the result of that over time, over another generation or two, is going to be complete infertility. And only
Goodness.
The people who have the wisdom to eat real food and avoid these industrial foods will procreate. So this is what I call nature's remedy. It's the natural selection of the wise. And the other solution, of course, is to lobby or in whatever way to get these out of the food supply.
Yeah, but they're so heavily ingrained.
Right. And you know, in New Zealand and Australia, if you have anything there, you have animal fat, tallow, which comes from sheep and cows. Mm. It's the kind of fat they produce. There's absolutely no reason for you to use any trans fats in New Zealand or Australia.
Mm. So where would you get tallow?
Well, you get it from the beef industry. You get it from when you butcher animals.
Mm. And you would use that, what, in your cooking, you're saying?
Right. French fries, by the way, French fries and tallow taste fantastic.
Right.
You'd use them in pie crusts. You'd use them, you can use them in all sorts of ways.
Mm.
They make wonderful crisp cookies. And it's something that you have there, and it's very inexpensive.
And, of course, it's good for you.
Yes, yes.
Why is
Especially
it good for you?
Especially in New Zealand, where everything is grass-fed. Because then the tallow will contain something called CLA, which is an anti-cancer substance. So instead of causing cancer like trans fats, these healthy saturated animal fats protect you against cancer.
Just going back to these new oils, do we need any of these new oils, olive oil, canola oil?
Well, olive oil is not a new oil. Now, olive oil has been around for a long time, and it is a healthy oil. It does not need heavy processing to extract it. It's quite a stable oil. And I think we do need some olive oil for our salads or whatever. But the canola oil is a new oil. We don't need that, and it really does have some problems. And then the soybean oil, the corn oil, cottonseed oil.
And
these should really be, for many reasons, these should be avoided.
And it's from these that these trans fats are made.
The trans fats are made from them, but even when they are not made into trans fats, even when they are liquid oils, they are very rancid. They may not smell rancid, but they are rancid, and they're full of what we call free radicals. And these free radicals basically turn your smooth arteries into, you know, encrusted tubes, and that's where all of the problems start.
So it's not the cholesterol.
No. Now, the cholesterol is a complete red herring. This was cooked up by the vegetable oil industry to make us afraid of the foods they were competing with.
And so really it's the vegetable oils we should be avoiding.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing, exactly. Isn't it?
It is.
Mm. And one of the modern diseases that's reaching epidemic proportions is diabetes type 2. How has this come about?
Well, on the surface of every cell in your body are receptors, insulin receptors, that basically open a door to allow the food for the cell to get inside. That's glucose. And the insulin is like a key that opens that door. When you eat trans fat, that key does not work. It messes up the locks that the key goes into. So the sugars cannot get into your cells, and you end up with a situation where your blood is loaded with sugar, but the inside of your cells is starving for nutrients.
Mm.
and that leads to all of the other problems with the diabetes.
Mm. So what do we really need to supply unnecessary fats in the daily diet?
Well, number one is butter. I just can't recommend butter enough. Butter from, grass-fed cows, preferably, which you have available there. I would cook in lard and tallow, which you can still buy in stores. And I would use coconut oil and butter in cooking. Go back to the natural fats.
And why do we need these good fats?
The saturated fats, now these are fats that are naturally solid at room temperature or semi-solid at room temperature, play many very important roles in the body. First of all, those cell membranes I was talking about need to be 50% saturated or your cells do not work properly. The lungs require saturated fats to work properly. The kidneys, the saturated fats enhance the immune system. They suppress inflammation. They encourage the proper type of hormone function, and they're involved in intercellular communication. So the saturated fats have many important roles in the body, and the trans fats have the opposite roles. Mm-hmm. They interfere with hormone production. They encourage inflammation and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And we hear a lot these days about the omega-3s and the benefits of these. Perhaps you could just tell us about omega-3s and the importance.
The omega-3 fatty acids are very liquid at room temperature. They tend to be found in plants and fish in colder climates. The body does need them in very small amounts. The interesting thing, Helen, is that the saturated fats help your body use those omega-3s properly. Mm. When you have a lot of saturated fat, you only need a little bit of omega-3. The other important thing to understand about omega-3s is that they're very fragile, and if you're trying to get them from a lot of these vegetable oils, what you're going to be getting is rancid versions, which are very dangerous. You know, it's interesting, one of the best sources of omega-3 is beef fat. Only about 1% of the beef fat is omega-3, but because it is there protected by the saturated fats and because you're eating it with saturated fats, your body will use it very, very effectively.
Mm. And it's so hard to get fat on the meat these days.
Yes, that's another one of my complaints.
They chop it all off.
They do, and lean meat tastes terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you need to find a butcher, an old-fashioned type of butcher who doesn't do that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because it's really the tastiest, and as you write, it satisfies your hunger.
Well, traditional cultures never ate lean meat. If the meat was too lean, they threw it away.
Mm.
They wanted the fat, and they hunted animals selectively at the time of year when they would be the fattest.
Mm. And so we should be looking back at our traditional foods.
Right. I had an anthropologist talk to me. He'd lived among the Aboriginal peoples in Australia. And he said, if they killed a kangaroo and the kangaroo was too lean, they just threw it away. It was no good.
Because kangaroos are lean, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they might have had to look for a while.
So I would just like to mention that I'm coming to New Zealand and Australia in May of 2007.
Lovely.
Starting with a tour in New Zealand, and then on the 18th of May, I'll be in Sydney. Mm. 19th and 20th in Brisbane, back to Sydney on the 26th, then in Melbourne, and then Adelaide, and then in Perth.
Fantastic.
So if your listeners would go to westonaprice.org and click on calendar and scroll down, they'll find the information.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Sally. So how long will you be speaking for? Have you got a few days in each state or what?
Well, I'll probably be giving my all-day seminar on traditional diets on the Saturday.
Mm.
And the Saturdays that I'm there, and I'll be doing some evening talks as well.
Mm. Okay. Well, thanks for that.